Hey, this is Vinny V, and you're in the green room, and it's 5 o'clock on a Tuesday, which doesn't always happen 5 o'clock on a Tuesday, but today it is.
It's supposed to happen on a 5 o'clock on a Tuesday.
We take a little privilege out of doing it whenever it works best. But, we're here today, and we have some, I like the subject, you know, being back to nature, you know, knowing what your environment is like and how it works, how we work with it, how we're all part of it. And, you can learn so much from it because we're part of it, you know, and can learn a lot about yourself. So
I think I have a game about the nature.
You do?
Yeah, it's like an app.
Oh.
On the computer.
Oh, cool.
You mean there's something outside?
No, nothing outside.
It's just an app.
It all comes from inside you.
Isn't it just an app?
Yeah. We are an app. That's Rob Bell doing the engineering today.
And very talkative engineer over here.
That's a beautiful thing.
And we have a very quiet co-host over here.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We're going to get around to him. We have our friend here, Brian Russo.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, look.
Hope everybody's having a great day.
Gee, that's a good voice there, Brian.
Thank you, Vinny.
He sounds like Max Headroom. You remember Max Headroom?
No.
Hello. Everybody.
I don't quite sound like that, Rob. That sounds a little nasally.
Yeah, well.
You're too young to remember Max Headroom anyway.
Yes, definitely before my time.
Yep.
Brian is our fireman on call here today.
That's right. He may have to run out and save somebody.
That's right. Fireman, EMS, it's all good. It's all good. We were talking about it a little while ago, and you're out of Lawrenceville.
That's correct.
What's the name of the firehouse? Is
there? It's Lawrenceville Fire Station 23.
Uh-huh. Cool. Very cool. And do you do a lot of activity there? You know, are you busy? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, always busy. We cover 75% of the district, which is, more than half of what the other two companies cover, Lawrence Road and Slackwood. So we're quite busy.
Mm.
We average 800 to 1,000 calls a year just in between fire and EMS.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, EMS. Well, that's the other area. That's a whole nother ball game. But they would kind of work together, though, right?
Yes. You never know who's going to arrive. Well, if it's a house, if we got a house fire or something going, you may see the fire company show up first. You may see the police. Usually it's the police that get there before the fire company.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's EMS after that. It all depends. Dispatch, all depends. Like I said, if it's volunteer at night and there's no paid people there, the response time's obviously going to be slower.
Mm.
People coming not necessarily from their houses. They're maybe coming from a party if it's a weekend, a mm-hmm. picnic. Who knows? Down the shore. Who
right,
knows?
Right.
Vacation.
Right. They've knows? Got that little buzz on the top of their cars too, and they just like zoom along. I see them. I used to see them all the time coming out of. I used to live on a Green Street, which was a big thoroughfare, cross streets, and every time you hear the thing go off at the firehouse, you hear all these cars come. Like everybody from the volunteer thing is coming to the firehouse.
But you're not a volunteer, right?
I do both.
No,
I thought you were a professional.
Yeah, I do, but I do. I started volunteer.
Well, you started out.
And we do have shifts strictly sometimes at night that's just volunteer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Paid is mostly during the day.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So
I did not know that.
I think eventually they're all going to be paid like the inner cities because They'll have to raise, you know, you just can't get volunteers today. Nobody wants to do a dangerous job like that, put your life on the line for nothing. I mean, let's face it.
Well,
it's dangerous.
Right. Yeah.
And what about your liability? Do you have liability if you, you know,
well,
rescue somebody and, you know, they end up getting hurt, they can sue you?
We're all covered under the township.
Including the volunteers?
Right. I think so.
Okay, that's good.
Whether you're volunteer or paid, they're doing the same job. There's no difference other than you're getting paid and one's not. That's all.
Okay.
Now, when you're taking care of a fire, right, and all of a sudden you have people coming out and they can't breathe and everything, do you take off your hat and put the other hat on and start doing the EMS?
Usually we get them to EMS right away. Usually we don't recommend taking our air pack off in an oxygen deficient atmosphere like a fire.
Yeah, I guess
unless there's no other
there.
Resort and you have to.
Right.
But now you'll be breathing in all that toxic
right,
smoke
right.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not gonna do anybody any good as first responders.
If you're laying next to
them. If we're laying next to them and become part of, you know, become a victim ourselves and part of the problem ourselves.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, it's a great job. Thank you for doing it, man. Somebody has to do it.
Well, thank you, Vinny. And I enjoy what I do. And like I said, it's been a good career and I hope to keep going.
He's going to be the chief at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be
well,
the chief,
I don't know
chief
about,
of the fire department.
I don't know about that, Rob. That's a big responsibility.
I know, but you're the right guy for the job. I'll vote for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a matter of that. It's more than just being voted in a position. It's you got to attend a lot of meetings, county meetings.
Which you do.
Yes, but chiefs, tri-county chiefs meetings, there's all types of also a lot of crap you got to deal with, so.
Mm. Well, that's down the road. Just got to be here now and do what you got to do.
Down the road or maybe never, Vinny.
Yeah, whatever. You never say never. Yes, indeed.
Well, there was in the news that a fire chief, a captain got killed. You saw that in the news? When he responded to a senior citizen alarm?
No.
And it turned out to be some nut with a gun, and he shot two fire people, and he killed a 45-year-old captain.
When was this?
When was this?
It was like a day or two ago. It was on the news. I'm trying to remember where it was.
Oh. Did not hear about it.
Yeah, the fire department got there before the cops.
Ah, it's craziness.
Wow.
Lots of craziness going on out there.
Sure is. You never can tell when you're going to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a dangerous job, even above, you know, actually dealing with fires. You know, you're also dealing with the public.
Right. Well, I don't think that happens that often.
But, no, in fact, it was the first time it happened in like 30 years in that department.
Right. And, you know.
I think it was out west.
Could be. So, moving on.
How do you feel about butterflies, Brian?
It sounds interesting. I'm
do you have butterflies in your stomach right now, talking on the radio?
No, absolutely not. I'm used to talking on the radio.
Oh, good.
Just not this radio.
On the two-way.
On the two-way, yeah. That's a little different.
It's a little different, yes.
Yeah. That's probably more makes you more anxious being on that thing.
Well, your adrenaline gets
people. Yeah,
your adrenaline gets going in an emergency situation.
Right.
So it's a little bit different than sitting back and talking casually like we are now.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, our other guest here today is from Go Wild in Lambertville.
Lambertville Goes Wild.
Lambertville. You know, I had that right the first time. I don't know.
No, that's you that goes wild in
Lambertville. Go Wild in Lambertville.
I was going to say you could do the other, but we call ourselves Lambertville Goes Wild.
That's what I thought. I don't know. I guess I wrote down. See, over here it says Wild in Lambertville.
Vinny, you sure it doesn't say you're going wild?
Yeah, well, anyway. I never get these things right when I said it. Now, if I can get your name right, Mary Ann Borg.
Borge. Right.
Let's see. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Mary Ann's been here before.
Yes.
She's been on the show, return guest, and it's really great to have someone who cares about the environment. Do you and you were doing like a volunteer thing, or you have people volunteering for this, right?
Right. Lamberville Goes Wild is actually a volunteer effort here in Lamberville to get Lamberville certified as a community wildlife habitat through the National Wildlife Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing this because we want to try to help make Lamberville an even better place to live than it already is.
Mm.
You know, we're surrounded by the beautiful river, by the Sourland Mountains.
It's such a beautiful place.
It's a gorgeous spot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much wildlife around us
mm-hmm.
that we can help welcome into our own yards if we just do the right things in our yards.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, it's typically offering the plants that they need in order to survive,
right.
offering them the right food, offering them shelter, water, not using things like pesticides and herbicides. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things that we want to do.
How do people respond to that, not using pesticides and stuff like that?
People mostly respond pretty well.
How about weed killers? Isn't that the same kind of thing?
Weed killers are herbicides, and
they're toxins.
Well,
I like weeds.
A weed is a plant or a flower that people don't want.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, there's no such thing as a weed.
Exactly.
No,
you know, it's a very subjective thing.
There's
what a
some
weed
beautiful
is.
Some of them. It's
yes.
Just the, you know.
Yes. If you think about your lawn, if you wanted to have a more wildlife-friendly lawn than what we typically have, first of all, it should be kind of small, because just grass doesn't really support wildlife all that much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a lawn that has clover growing in it or violets or even dandelions, then you're offering food for lots of other critters. There are lots of insects that can visit those flowers for nectar and pollen.
Right,
violets are a food plant for the caterpillars of great spangled fritillary butterflies. So you could be offering that too. Great spangled fritillaries. They're big and they're orange and brown, speckly looking. They're really cool.
Yeah, I like
those. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Love butterflies. They're so beautiful.
People think, people love to get rid of the dandelions. They think dandelions are a problem. But you're saying that that's food for a lot of animals.
It's food for a lot of animals. And actually, dandelion leaves are more nutritious for us to eat than even kale or spinach. So, you know, you could just, if you're not using chemicals on your lawn and maybe you've neglected to get stuff for dinner, you can go out and pick a few leaves of dandelions to garnish or make a salad or whatever. So,
isn't that good for tea too, dandelion?
I've heard of that.
Dandelion wine.
And thistles.
That sounds even better.
Wine? Thistles are good for tea.
Could be. There's a lot of plants that are good for tea. There's some mint family members that are quite good for tea.
Yeah.
And that are also good for lots of different pollinators. A couple of my favorites are called wild bergamot. It's a mint that has very minty leaves that you can dry and use for a tea.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flowers are long, narrow, purple tubular flowers that lots of butterflies and bees like to visit. And this one really cool moth called a hummingbird moth.
Mm.
It has to be an insect that has a really long tongue to be able to get down the tube to get to the nectar.
Okay.
And they're also good for hummingbirds. There's a very close relative of that called bee balm that has red flowers. And hummingbirds are sort of known for their attraction to red flowers.
Mm.
Red, bright red tubular flowers. And bee balm is one of them. Butterflies are attracted to them because other insects are not, or insects are not. Bees, for example, can't see the color red, so they don't go to red flowers
now,
as frequently.
How do we know that?
Well, I know
how
it from,
do you know that there?
I know it from a scientist who did it.
Well, okay. Well, I could, yeah.
Science has discovered these things. It's amazing what we don't know about nature.
It's
about
amazing
nature
how we
us.
Get to know these things,
that
too.
That too.
Red. I don't see red half of the time. I see brown, and this. I have trouble with reds.
Yeah. Well, back in my house in the country, I used to have a lot of bee balm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's a very cool plant. Very pretty.
Mm-hmm. It recedes in a different place. It migrates around.
It may move around.
It moves around. Yeah,
depends on how happy it is in that particular environment. But those are great plants for butterflies, bees, and hummingbirds.
Love it. Love to have those guys around.
Yeah. Rob was asking me the other day about good plants for hummingbirds, and because he has sort of wet soil where he lives, I recommended something called cardinal flower, which is a beautiful plant. The flowers grow in a spike, and they bloom over a period of several weeks. They start blooming at the bottom of the spike and work their way up to the top. And the hummingbirds love it. You have to be able to... To really be able to feed from those flowers, you have to be somebody who can hover without landing. Who would do that better than hummingbirds?
Oh, my God. That's great. Yeah, yeah. So. I love watching those guys just doing their little thing there. Reminds me of, was it like helicopters? What are those things that just kind of, in the Army they have those things, those helicopters that just kind of hover.
Or
stay around. Yeah. But much more beautiful.
Drones.
Much
drones.
More beautiful.
Now we talk about drones.
Yeah.
Drones, yeah. But
some of those things come from nature.
Yeah.
Dragonflies.
Where do you get the ideas from them, right?
Dragonflies are amazing flyers, and they have influenced their ability to fly and the way that they have amazingly accurate radar, if you want to call it that, to find their prey. They eat insects, and they can capture in midair. So they've inspired some aircraft.
I'm sure you get your ideas from these beautiful insects and stuff. A lot of people don't like insects, but that's because they don't, I guess they're not sensitive to what they can do for people.
It's because they don't know them well enough,
I think. Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of people don't know what insects can do for us.
Mm-hmm.
The easy ones, butterflies are probably the gateway insect, because people can easily get hooked on butterflies because they're kind of pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And people are attracted to things that are pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start looking at plants and who visits them, you see the butterflies and you see all kinds of other critters there too.
Right.
But I just want to interrupt to point out that today's Tuesday, June 26th. So if you're listening and it's Tuesday, June 26th, we're live right now. You can call in to 609-460-4673 if you have a question about butterflies, hummingbirds, any kind of plants that you might want to plant, and where to buy them. That's the next thing I'm going to ask you.
Right. Well,
where do you get this stuff, like milkweed? That's not something you can find in a nursery.
You like milkweed. You've been talking about that a lot lately.
Well, that's because that's what monarchs, right? Am I right in thinking that's all they can eat?
That's correct. It's actually, the butterflies themselves can drink nectar from lots of different flowers, but it's their caterpillars that can only eat the leaves of milkweed plants. They've evolved to specialize on them. You'd think that would be kind of risky. Why would they do that? It's because milkweeds actually contain toxins that the milkweeds have evolved to have to prevent critters from eating them.
Mm.
But there's always somebody who gets around it.
But the caterpillar doesn't get around it. It likes to eat the...
Right. The caterpillars of monarch butterflies and a few other insects have evolved to be able to not just tolerate those toxins, but sequester them in their bodies, store them there, so that the toxins actually protect the caterpillars and the subsequent butterflies as well.
Yeah.
So, and it's such a successful protection that the colors of the monarch caterpillars and the butterflies are bright and showy. It's as if they're saying to potential predators like birds, go ahead and try to eat me. I dare you. You'll be sorry. So they evolved to specialize on them.
You will die as well as me.
You'll at least be kind of sick. So,
but if you have them, if I plant them this time of year, it would attract them or no?
Yes. Oh, yes. Monarchs are around. I've seen them as early as mid-May. I haven't this year. They've been a little later. And as late as well into the fall, October. There are multiple generations of monarchs. A lot of people know that monarchs actually migrate to Mexico in the fall.
And they had a terrible frost there, didn't they?
Their weather can be a problem in having them survive the winter, either cold temperatures in their overwintering spot. Some of the hurricanes that occurred in the area also were a problem last year. Monarch populations, from what I've read, are down about 15% again this year over last year, and their populations are down considerably in the last 20 years.
They can make a trip from here to Mexico?
Amazing, but true, yes.
That's pretty, you'd think their lifespan isn't that long.
Yeah. Well, on the way back, there's actually multiple generations of monarchs that go all the way to the northern part of their range. Right, right. But they're around most of the summer and into the fall. So yeah, if you plant milkweeds now, you'll probably attract monarchs.
When I was a kid, there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I really don't see them that much anymore.
There are not as many insects generally than there were years ago. And part of it is there's just not enough habitat. You know, I mean, roadsides are mowed more. Farmers' fields are now, they're often treated with herbicides because some of the farmers' crops are developed so that they're resistant to the herbicides. And they can just spray herbicides and kill everything else. What's interesting is there have been some studies done recently. There's a woman who is a professor at Rutgers University, Rachel Winfrey, who's done some studies of pollinators and farmers' fields. And if you have strips of native plants near farmers' fields, you'll be more likely to get a higher rate of pollination than if you don't.
What's a farmer's field?
Just a field.
Just like a cornfield or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and if anybody, this is just about blueberry season here in New Jersey. And
I thought it was spiel.
No, sorry.
I never heard of spiel.
Have they picked up on this, the farmers?
Some, yeah. I mean, I think they're trying to get the word out. There's another organization called the Xerce Society who is working specifically to help bring back the pollinators, and they've done work in working with farmers on this information as well. So people are trying to get the word out. But we can help, too, by having plants in our backyards are good for pollinators, and then it's good for us as well. So,
is there a certain class of flora? You know, I mean, you don't name all the plants. You know what I mean? Like the rose family, or you know, different kinds of flowers that are really great.
That are great for pollinators.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's all kinds of them that are great for pollinators, and it kind of depends on, you know, what the season is. But the mint family that we talked about a minute ago, they're great for pollinators. They have, typically they have clusters of teeny tiny little flowers, and they don't all bloom the same day. They bloom over a period of several weeks, typically, maybe as much as 8 weeks. So there's food available for pollinators through that whole period. Plus there's something pretty for you to look at, too. So it's pretty cool. They're very good. The milkweeds are great for monarchs. And monarchs are sort of in decline, but at least they have really good press agents that people are beginning to know that they're in decline. And people are becoming more aware and are trying to plant milkweeds. And it's not everybody does know that it's the caterpillars. The caterpillars have a completely different dietary requirement than the butterflies do. The butterflies can drink lots of nectar.
And the caterpillar is a butterfly, really, right?
It is, but it's like an adolescent, you know. An adolescent is a person in the larval stage, you know.
That's right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. I used to love watching the caterpillar go into its cocoon and wait for a while and then see it break through. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so butterflies go through four life cycle stages, and two of them they have to eat. Caterpillar and butterfly. And however, they have completely different dietary requirements.
That's pretty outrageous. Yeah.
And most people don't really know that the caterpillars need to eat and what the caterpillars need to eat. And they kind of freak out if they see a caterpillar eating a leaf in their garden.
Right, right.
But it's actually a good thing. It means that you're providing food for wildlife.
Right. But a lot of people don't want to see their plants have holes in them. Is that the caterpillar when they make holes in them?
Very frequently it could be a caterpillar. It could also be a bee. There are some bees called leafcutter bees that cut a perfectly round circle in a leaf and use that to line their nests. So there's all kinds of interesting interactions.
Yeah. Now, I've also seen holes in the flowers that people would say that they were they got a disease or something like that, or something, they're sick.
There can be. Plants can be subject to bacteria and funguses, just like us. And it's interesting because plants also produce chemicals to try to protect themselves from those things. And sometimes those chemicals are things that we can end up using to protect ourselves if they take the right pathways through our bodies. So some plants have medicinal uses.
Right.
Witch hazel, for example.
Really?
Yeah, witch hazel comes from a shrub that you could find if you go for a walk in the woods nearby. Pretty cool.
Well, aloe is great.
Aloe's great. Slippery elm has a substance in its inner bark that's used to soothe sore throats. Wild senna is a laxative. So.
Hey, good to know.
Senna. Yeah, yeah.
It's a natural laxative.
Get out there and start grazing.
Yeah. Go into your local drugstore and look for Senecot. It's made, there may be some synthetic substitutes, but it's originally derived from plants. So there's all kinds of cool stuff.
What about these Japanese beetles? That's a bad thing, right?
Yeah, they are a bad thing. You know,
I saw some on my patio.
Yeah.
One of my plants all of a sudden had a whole bunch of them.
It's interesting because Japanese beetles, as the name would imply, are not native to our area. And so they don't have as many predators as other insects do. You know, one of the things people don't know about insects is that many insects keep other insects in check. So like caterpillars, for example, they are delectable, tasty treats if you happen to be a bird or many other insects. There are lots of other insects that eat caterpillars. There are some insects that will even eat Japanese beetles, and those are the ones that you want to try to encourage to be in your...
Which ones? Let me go get some.
Well, there's an assassin bug that will...
Assassin bug? Yeah.
Yes, oh. Yes. It has a very long, we'll call it mouth, proboscis. Uh-huh. That it sticks into its victim. Actually, first it grabs it with its front legs. Then it sticks its proboscis into its victim, injects some digestive enzymes, turns the inside of its prey into a smoothie-like substance, and drinks it up like through a straw, through his mouth. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What about praying mantis? Do they eat them?
Praying mantises are predators of lots of different insects.
Do they eat Japanese beetles?
I would think they'd eat practically anything. Okay. Yeah, yeah. There's also a sort of innocent-looking fly, a type of tachinid fly. When you use the word fly, people think house flies, but there's like a bazillion different species of them. I'm exaggerating, but there's
sure.
a lot.
Yeah.
And there's their larva also has very specific eating requirements. Many of them eat other insects. And this one tachinid fly actually specializes on the types of beetles that include Japanese beetles. Another thing that you can do to reduce the number of Japanese beetles on your property, and I'm not sure this will work for you, Rob, is reduce your lawn size, because Japanese beetles, their larvae develop.
Yeah. I don't have a lawn size. I don't really have that many of them, but I was shocked to see I had a pot, and all of a sudden there was a bunch of them in the...
Yeah.
Eating on that flower.
Yeah. They're especially fond of hibiscus, too. If I don't know what plant it was.
I do have some hibiscus back there.
That might be the draw.
Throw them in.
Yeah. Yeah.
The come on.
The dragonflies are also predators, right?
Yes, dragonflies are.
Yeah.
They eat other insects, and they're really good at catching them.
Yeah. I don't see too many of those here either. I mean, I'm right on the river, and I don't really see that many. When I was a kid, the dragonflies were everywhere.
They probably come out in the summer, right? Really deep summer?
They had little blue ones when I was a kid.
Yeah. I think the river may be a little too swift for them. You'll see more dragonflies. I was just at Bowman's Hill Wildlife Preserve this afternoon leading a walk, and there's a pond there that's a great place for dragonflies. There are a bunch of cool ones. And yesterday I was at another place a little south of here in Hamilton Township called Abbott Marshlands. Plenty of dragonflies down there, too.
Okay.
But the bodies of water there are more still. They're, you know, they don't flow as rapidly as the river.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be why.
Hmm.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So the dragonflies are
cool. And the canal's no good for a dragonfly?
Well, you know, I haven't
seen them.
It's
moving pretty
fast,
too.
It is moving pretty fast. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Maybe too deep. But they're pretty cool insects, too. So insects help to keep other insects in check. So
if
you have enough of the right kind of plants around, you'll have a great variety of insects, and they'll all be having one happy time feeding each other. And I think
eating each other, you mean?
Yeah.
No, how happy that is.
How about lightning bugs? You see them all over the place.
Lightning bugs are really cool. We've just noticed it. I live up the hill in Lambertville at the edge of the... And we have a lot of natural area right around our house, even though I live in a townhouse development. And just the last couple of nights, as the light gets dim, we've been seeing tons of lightning bugs.
Yeah, they're making a comeback this year.
They're at least
there's more this year than I've noticed in the past.
Yeah,
around my house,
they
seem to be doing
also,
well.
Yeah.
They're
all around farmers' fields. I see them flying around.
Yeah, you tend to see them in grassy areas or woodland areas, less so on lawns again. But they're very cool. And the lightning bug, they're signals to try to, you know, catch a mate, try to hook up, so to speak.
Is that why they blink yellow?
Yeah. And they apparently, I don't know too much about it, but apparently they're different species of them. And they have different blinking patterns to get the right kind of mate.
Mm.
It's kind of cool.
Interesting.
Just got to watch out when they blink red.
Well, I've never seen any blink red yet, Vinny, but
that's an
maybe it's coming. Maybe the evolution is coming.
Yeah, the evolutionary change hasn't made it that far, but yeah, pretty cool.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful all over the... But what do they eat? What are the, how have they helped you?
You know, honestly, I don't know too much about their diet.
I don't think they eat when they're mating.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
I don't know too much about their diet. Can't help me there. Sorry.
I think they only live like 24 hours.
I don't know.
Lightning bugs?
Yeah, so the next day it's a whole new set of bugs.
Maybe it's because kids catch them and take the light off them.
No, because they only have, they get one shot at it. But we got to take a break.
I noticed. Okay, well, we will be back with more about our nature and what's going on in our world around us. PANJ Radio in the Green Room. We'll be right back.
I look around me, see that I found me.
Would you like to host your own show on PANJ Radio? For a limited time, we are offering potential hosts up to 3 minutes of revenue sharing on advertising that they solicit on their own show. That's immediately covering their monthly fee and has the upside potential to make you $200 a week as your audience grows. Your show can be about entertainment, sports, religion, politics, you name it. PANJ Radio broadcasts live out of Green Birdie Studios in Lambertville, New Jersey. We can record your show ahead of time or do it live. And we can take live phone calls, too. We can also travel to your place of business and record or go live with your radio show there. For more information, please contact Rob at panjradio.com or call 609-460-4550. We look forward to hearing from you on the air.
Hi, this is Bernie Wagenblast, and hopefully Vinny V is not stuck in traffic right now and will be able to do his show in the Green Room here on PANJRadio.com. You'll find all sorts of interesting things that are going on in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania. So tune in to Vinny V and In the Green Room.
Hi, this is Frank Adams, and I'm inviting you to join me and my friends for Frank and Friends, 7 p.m. every night, where we play music that we have written and recorded together along the way last 15 years. So please tune in at PANJ Radio.
The Green Room, one second half here, and we're learning a little bit about our nature and our environment and how much it works together with itself. Now, if we could only learn from nature how to work together, and there's so much to learn from nature. You know, there's such a pattern of life that I think that's why it's there. You know, everything is here for a reason, and especially at this time in our evolution, just to know that we're part of something, so this ecological environment, you know, we are part of it. We have to live and work with each other to make it happen, you know, make life, I don't know if we're making it happen, but just be part of it. I think that to me, we're here to be part of life and to enjoy it, to open our eyes and enjoy the view, so to speak. And we're getting a good view of it today. It's pretty cool.
There's a couple things that makes me think of a couple of other things that I really should mention that plants do for us. They're really good at helping with stormwater management issues. Mm. Grass doesn't really absorb water very well, not much better than concrete would. But there are many plants.
Really?
Yeah. There are many plants that have really deep root systems. Most plants have much deeper root systems than a lawn would.
Mm-hmm.
And they help the soil to absorb water rather than run off and cause flash flooding, cause erosion in stream banks. Mm-hmm. So they do an important job for us there. And then, you know, we're kind of grappling with climate change currently.
Mm-hmm.
And the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere adds to the warming of our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And plants actually take carbon dioxide. Every instance of photosynthesis, plants are taking carbon dioxide out of the air and producing oxygen for us to breathe. They enable us to survive. They enable us to live. And more plants can help actually take some of the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, and we can do just a little teeny bit to help to, you know, do something about climate change.
That's why it's such a shame when they start cutting down these forests.
Yep.
You know, taking away the possibility to save the planet by cutting down all these trees and, you know, making
way. Well, we were just watching that documentary about the elephants.
Right.
I remember they're talking about how, was it Malaysia? They've cut down, I don't know, 85% of the forest?
Big.
It's a big business, cutting down the tree. There's no regulations, apparently, there. They just cut down as much as they want, you know.
And it'll all come back to affect people. I mean, what we don't seem to be really aware enough about is the fact that it affects us. Maybe not immediately, but and maybe not every day do we notice it, but it affects us.
Yeah, and you know, saying there's a saying that says, you know, we're sitting on a branch and we're cutting the same branch we're sitting on.
Exactly.
You know, and if we cut that branch, we're going to fall.
Yep.
You know,
sooner or later.
Yeah.
There are those that say the earth will survive. It's people that will disappear. We'd be doing ourselves in. But on the bright side, we can
on
do
the
a
bright
lot.
Side. That's right. That's what we're here to talk about. The bright side, all this beautiful foliage, and how it works. I mean, just looking at it makes you feel good.
That's
I'm a huge fan of these vertical gardens they're building now in the inner cities, you know, where they take an abandoned building and they plant in it, and they build up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
A friend of mine has an apartment in Brooklyn in, what is it called? Forgot the name of the place. But at any rate,
Park Slope?
Well,
it's close
near, there. close to Park Slope, and he has these roof, he has two houses together, big roof house, and it was one at one time, but then he bought the other house, so it's incredible. It's just so big and beautiful, and he plants stuff up there, and it's really cool.
A green roof.
Yeah, greener on the roof.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
It can actually help, you know, keep your heating bills down. I mean, plants do that too.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
How does it do that? By just absorbing the...
Do they hold the heat in?
They're, you know, again, they're photosynthesizing, and they're trapping moisture. They're doing a lot of things there. Actually, where I live, my husband and I like to say that we have passive solar at our house because we have deciduous trees all along the south side of our house.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the summer, we get a lot of shade, which cools the house.
Right.
And in the winter, the leaves drop, so we get a lot of sun, which warms the house. So
you know, that's interesting that you say that because a few years ago, I put solar panels on house. I don't live there. My daughter was living there. And I could have put in more panels, but there was this big old tree standing in front of the house. And everybody said, well, if you cut the tree down, you could do it. And I said, no.
Right.
That tree has been there for 100 years. I'm not cutting it. It's so big. In it. You know that tree, I think.
I sure
do. It's just so big. And, you know, it's funny because that's what people think. Well, just cut it down, you know, get it out of the way. But you saying what you just said makes a lot of sense. It's like, sure, that always cooled it. You know, you want to go outside in the summer, the tree is there to cool you down.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's pretty cool.
I lead walks at Bowman's Hill Wildflower Preserve. And
right. We're going to talk about that. Go ahead.
We take people all over the place, all over the preserve, depending on what the whim of the day is. There's always something interesting to see. But we may go from the meadow or a sunny pond into mm-hmm. the woods. And in the summer, you can feel the difference in the temperature the minute you hit the woods. It's uh-huh. like at least a 5-degree temperature difference.
Absolutely.
And again, I notice that at my house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I used to love to go to the park when I lived in Brooklyn. There was no backyards, really. But if you go to the park, yeah, you know, even though it's hot, you go under the trees, and it, you had a nice little cool breeze, and it was beautiful. It didn't bother you. As a matter of fact, I don't think we had much air conditioning at that time. It was all fans and stuff.
Right.
So if you had a tree, you're in good shape. You know, you had some cover, plus the rain, too. If it rained, you had the tree to cover you.
That's right.
Yeah. So how did you get started in all this?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question. People ask me that a lot. I actually have a degree in math, and I was in the software business, so had nothing to do with
it. Oh, geez, could tell.
Yeah, right.
How you get right into it.
But I was on a business trip to Ithaca, New York, and I saw this little yellow plant in somebody's lawn, and I had to know what it was, so I went into a bookstore and bought a field guide to wildflowers, and it's been no stopping me since. It's been one thing after another.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. So I've taught myself a lot, but I've also attended the training offered at Bowman's Hill Wildflower Preserve. And actually, I now teach a lot of the classes there because I've been around for a while because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Is that technically in New Hope?
Yeah. It's actually probably Solbury Township. The mailing address is New Hope. It's about a mile south of New Hope on River Road.
But I want to promote it on the radio in case people haven't visited it.
Yeah, it's really cool. I was just there today. It was fun, and it's fun all the time. Mm-hmm. And, Rob, you asked earlier what might be a good place to buy some plants. That's one of the places around that would be a really good place to buy plants. DNR Greenway also has plant sales. You'd have to check their website for what the days are. There's another good place. There's a mail order place, toadshade.com, that you can order plants by mail. But she also, the woman who's the proprietor, also has a presence at DeVore Farm, DeVore Farmers Market on Sundays in Flemington. So that's another place you can get
them. Right in the circle there, the second circle, the 12th circle, I think they call it.
Yeah, I think it's right there at Route 12, right, right. And Lambertville Goes Wild has actually sponsored plant sales a couple times, and we're planning another one for the fall. We had our most recent plant sale June 2nd, and we had a lot of people there, so don't miss our next one. We've already scheduled it.
Is that at Bowman?
No, we had this at Cavallo Park here in Lambertville.
Oh, right there, yeah.
Right. I should probably refresh people's memories if they weren't listening on January 17th or don't know anything about it, but Lambertville Goes Wild. We're trying to get Lambertville certified as a community wildlife habitat, and we're actually about halfway to meeting our goal.
Mm.
So you guys can help us.
We know the mayor, right?
The mayor, and we know the future mayor.
You have to do more than that to help us to get certified.
It's not what you know, it's who you know, isn't it?
No. No, it's what you do in this case, because you need to have wildlife-friendly practices, and that's mostly using plants that are native to our area in your garden. Not that you can't have plants that are imported.
We were talking about that the last time you were here.
Right.
What are native to your environment.
Right. So there are a lot of good reasons to do that. By native plants, we mean plants that have evolved in a given location for hundreds or even thousands of years.
Mm.
And they've evolved here together with all of the animals here, the insects, the birds.
Right.
So they have a lot of interdependencies. They help each other out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the plants that have evolved in a given place typically do better because they've evolved to be compatible with the soils here and the climate and the amount of water that they get.
Mm-hmm.
So they should do well in your garden without need for fertilizers and that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So it's a win for everybody.
Yeah.
So you need to have food for critters and having food for, you know, butterflies. What people don't know is it's not just monarchs that have very specific eating habits. Most butterflies do. So there are a lot of plants that you can provide that are specific to certain species of butterflies.
So how do you find out what plants are good for your area? Or, you know, like you could plant apples here and, you know, strawberries here and da-da-da-da.
Well, for our location, some good sources of information are Bowman's Hill Wildflower Preserve. Their website is a good source of information, plus there are classes there, of which some I teach. So feel free to join me.
And you can sign up through the website?
Yeah, you can sign up through their website.
Which is?
BHWP.org. And another good source of information is Lambertville Goes Wild's website, which is lambertvillegoeswild.weebly.com. And we have a resources page, which offers several places where you can buy native plants. We list our own personal favorites that we think do well in our area, so you'll see that. And those with a little asterisk tend to be more deer-resistant than others.
Mm-hmm.
We also list some other sources. The National Audubon Society has a great website that we have a link to on our website.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is put in your zip code, and they'll give you suggestions for what plants will do well in your area.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, deers seem to be a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, they're really great animals. They're really sweet animals. But the problem is there's kind of too many, and they eat everything.
Mm.
They eat too much then. And it's a problem for you and your garden. You don't want them to eat everything. But it's also a problem in our nearby woodlands. Deer will eat anything from the ground level up to about 5 feet or so.
Mm-hmm.
And a big problem is that the woods would usually normally regenerate themselves pretty readily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trees bloom,
right,
they produce seeds, and new seedlings and saplings grow up. But those are tasty treats for deer. So the woodlands are not regenerating themselves as readily as they did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's especially a problem around, which means that eventually we will have no woodlands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look around us, the hillsides are covered with trees. If we don't have any trees, during a heavy storm, that water's going to come straight downtown here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue. So we have to figure out a way to try to balance everybody's needs.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much.
A lot of them are getting hit by cars, too, deers.
Yeah, they're probably cars.
Always,
that's like their number one predator.
I was just going to say that. I completely agree.
Yes, yeah, very true.
Yeah.
We have to reintroduce mountain lions and wolves and...
I think I'd go for that.
Bears and stuff.
I would go for that.
Do they have hunters here?
Oh,
I don't live in the area. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they have a lot of hunters.
Yes.
Yeah, so they go looking for deer.
Yeah.
Farmers are allowed to... I think they're allowed to kill deer pretty much at will, because there's just so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to follow the restrictions that other normal hunters do.
You know? Yeah, it's a tough one.
Another place that you can learn about plants that are native to our area is my blog, which is thenaturalweb.org.
You got to come out with these things.
I know.
Here. We're going to have to list them.
I'm a terrible self-promoter. My husband will tell you.
So I'm going to start writing this stuff down so you can say them at the end of the show.
Okay. Okay. I can just summarize them at the end if you want.
No, I'm interested right now, Vinny.
Oh, me too. But I mean, just to get it out later on.
Just to remind everyone.
Thenaturalweb.org is the name of my blog. There's hyphens in between the words.
Okay.
But I usually write about the interaction between plants and animals. Sometimes they'll take a specific plant and talk about all the animals that it uses, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
For example, tomorrow I'll post one on Facebook about cardinal flower, the plant that you need for your garden, Rob.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I have a lot of potted plants. Is there anything I could put in a potted plant that would attract these birds and stuff?
Sure. A lot of plants you could try in pots. I'd probably try a fairly deep pot just to make sure it had room for its roots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing that might be cool here is there's a plant called trumpet honeysuckle, which is a vine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
I know they're orange, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those.
Orange flowers, and hummingbirds love that. And
okay.
You could have it grow on a fence or a arbor or something like that.
That would be a good thing to get.
It would be a good thing to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are they like weeds, the trumpet vine?
There's another one called trumpet creeper that, you know, again, weed is just
long,
such
skinny...
a judgmental word.
Yeah, it is.
No, but I mean a long, skinny stem and just the flower at the top.
Trumpet honeysuckle has clumps or clusters of flowers that are very long, like a trumpet almost.
Yeah, yeah.
In usually at the tips of branches, and so it will branch out a bit. They have fairly slim stems, and they really need, they can be a ground cover, but they really need to climb on something. So it's really good for a fence or an arbor, something like that.
Yeah.
Then there's another plant that is sometimes confused with it called trumpet creeper, which is, it has bigger orange flowers, very pretty. That can be a little aggressive, so if you have a small garden, it might not be the right place for you, because you kind of need to keep it in check, possibly. But it's great in a natural area, too.
Yeah, I The other day, I have one of those trimmers. You know, you go along and it's like Edward Scissorhands.
Like a weed whacker.
Like no, like Edward Scissorhands. You just go. You just make them
hedge trimmers.
Like hedge trimmer. I guess that's what it's called. I don't even know what it's called, but you know,
weed whacker, and
just to trim down because it's on a fence. And it sticks out, and the cars come in, and they bump into it and stuff. So I was trimming them down, but there was these beautiful trumpet things coming out of the fence, and
yeah.
I couldn't cut them, man. I just said, no.
Good for you.
I wouldn't cut them, man. It's so beautiful.
Hummingbirds, thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that stuff. As a matter of fact...
Do you see hummingbirds at your house?
I've seen them, yes. Yeah. Yes, in the backyard, sure. Yeah. Last year we planted the sunflowers. We had so many sunflowers. It was like 10 feet of sunflowers go up and down the fence, and they grew like 16 feet high. My wife decided she wanted to get these big ones.
16 feet?
Yeah, she didn't want the neighbors to look in all the time to see the dogs and the dogs to see them because they bark all the time.
They make quite a good barrier at that height.
Yeah, well, that's why she did it. Yeah. But then you saw a lot of different flower,
different insects.
Insects and birds, stuff like
that.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. But, you know,
did you eat the seeds?
Huh?
Did you eat the seeds?
No.
Probably left them for the birds, didn't you, Vinny?
Yeah, I got to be considerate. I just.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Did you get any cardinals around?
Yes.
You should with the sunflowers.
Yeah, no, there were a lot of. Different birds and
goldfinches. I always see going after stuff like
that.
Yeah.
The little guys,
very pretty birds.
Yellow,
New Jersey
black.
State bird.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, and it's funny because in my house in Island, I would do the lawn up there, and as I was mowing the lawn, there was all these beautiful little I don't know what they would call them, but they weren't supposed to be there. Quote unquote. So I would just go around everything, and my kids would say, "Dad, why did you leave those patches?" I said, "Because they're so pretty. Why cut them down?
That's right.
That's the garden is supposed to be pretty, you know." But
when I was a little girl, I used to go out on the lawn and pick clover and violets for my mom. Uh-huh. And clover actually is. It adds nitrogen to the soil, which actually makes grass grow better. So if we weren't obsessive about getting rid of the clover in our lawns, we wouldn't have to add fertilizer to them to get them to grow.
We've got lots of clover in our backyard, too, now.
Good.
I love it, you know, but, you know, no buts. I love it.
So do you have you must have rabbits, then. Isn't that their favorite
thing? We had lots of rabbits, but our cat
had a field day with the rabbit.
Oh, my God. She was terrible. She would bring us a present every day, so we don't have too many rabbits anymore. It was really horrible. You know, one day she brought three of them. She killed three of them.
Grown-ups or babies?
Babies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Probably poor things didn't that. Have a chance,
no,
sounds
no.
like.
I know when I had cats, we didn't have any chipmunks because they would kill all the chipmunks. As soon as I got rid of the cats, all of a sudden I had chipmunks again. I love chipmunks.
Yeah.
It's like, where you guys been?
Very cute. I haven't seen chipmunks in my area in a long time.
Yeah, there's too many cats.
We have chipmunks.
Yeah.
We have chipmunks and squirrels.
I think they're so cool.
Yep, they're very cute.
Even more than the squirrels. Squirrels are cool too, but chipmunks, I don't know, they have that, you know.
Squirrels can be pretty destructive too.
Yes, they can. They got into my house, into the attic, and they make so much noise. Weird noises.
Tell them to keep it down.
Yeah, well, we did. They didn't listen. Mm. I caught a squirrel up in the attic. We had a live trap, and it happened to be a flying squirrel.
Cool. Mm.
It's smaller than the other ones, and they had the flaps in here for, I guess, gliding from tree to tree to whatever.
Yeah, those are cool. I've seen them.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I never seen one, but a guy came up. We called the people that, I guess, saved them or whatever they do, and he came and he took them away in the cage, and he was blown out because I guess he hadn't seen one in a while around in the area.
Yeah, they're night creatures too, so they're not as commonly seen.
Hmm.
Pretty
really
cool.
Yeah. Very sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet. But nature's great. It's great.
How do you feel about multiflora rose?
Multiflora rose is a pretty invasive plant that was brought to this country. You know, we do these things and we think it's a good idea at the time, and it doesn't always turn out to be so. That plant was brought to this country to act as sort of a fencing in between fields, you know, our agricultural fields.
Okay.
And it has escaped all over the place. You see it in the woods, you see it in, you know, vacant lots, meadows and things. And so it's pretty invasive, and that's a bad thing, because then it's taking room for that other plants that have evolved here with the animals that evolved here would need. And it doesn't really provide the same kind of benefit that the plants that evolved here did. Plants that are imported from some other area typically don't have those relationships with, say, butterfly caterpillars like we were talking about before. It's highly unusual for any of our native insects to be able to use them in the same way. And that's,
well, they make a lot of beautiful little nice-smelling flowers.
They do make a lot of nice-smelling flowers.
But you
seem
that our bugs don't like, don't eat it.
They don't eat the leaves. Caterpillars, you know, are sort of the, I don't know, they need, as a group, need better publicists, because they're hugely important. Without caterpillars, we don't get butterflies. Without caterpillars, we have far fewer birds, because caterpillars are a huge percentage of a bird's diet, especially young birds as they're evolving.
Wow.
So we really need those critters. And many butterflies or moths, too, actually go through that same life cycle stage, and their caterpillars are delectable treats for other critters, too. They're also potential pollinators for lots of plants. Also, just one more thing on multiflora rose. I was going for a walk in a nearby natural area where there was some natural multiflora rose growing right next to some native wild blackberry, and the bumblebees were preferentially going to feed on the native wild blackberry. So I thought that was a testament to the nutritional value of our native plants. And it's not like there's such a thing as a bad plant. It's just a plant in a bad place. Some of our plants, when they're brought to other countries, do the same thing there. There's no one there to keep them in check, so they can go wild there. And, you know, so we're really better off using plants that are native to the area that we're living in.
Our bamboo, well, I have
that's
a lot
another
of
problem,
bamboo.
Bamboo, right? That's another
right.
Big,
bamboo. There
we have bamboo here in Lambert.
Big problem.
Yeah.
Took over all
big patches of it,
It's very invasive, and it really
and nothing
should be
eats
used.
It in this country.
Yeah, not that. We need to import pandas.
Pandas,
for that.
Right.
Yeah. Pandas.
Okay, but you know, but then we upset their balance.
That's right.
Taking them over here.
That's right. You have to be careful what you import control something, because that can open a whole other can of worms, so to speak.
So to speak. And what about worms? They're good for the soil, right?
Well, you know, even that's
so
kind
much?
Of interesting. In our area, earthworms are not really native. There are a whole other world of critters that help to aerate the soil. And the earthworms in our soil can be upsetting that balance and make the soil less hospitable to the plants that evolved here. I hate to break that to you, because it's
they're imported?
Pardon?
They're imported?
Yeah.
Earthworms?
Yeah, a lot of them, the fishing worms. There are some places in the United States where earthworms are native, but not really around here.
Wow. So if you find, because I found earthworms back there, they're not native.
Yeah, probably not.
But birds eat them, don't they?
Yeah, they
robins
do eat them.
And everything?
Yeah, so robins eat them. But
they're providing.
They look for caterpillars and stuff too. Plus, Japanese beetle larva grows underground in your lawn, and so let's encourage those robins to see if they'll eat that larva too. That might be a good way to control them.
You put a little sign up. Say,
yeah.
Over
Japanese
here.
Beetles.
Over here. Well, we are... Two minutes away from the end of the show, and I'd like to. Are there any events? You said there's an event coming up in July, right? 15th or something like that.
The upcoming events for Lambertville Goes Wild will be. You can meet us at the library. Is having a block party July 19th. We'll be there. We'll have a table at Fisherman's Mark on. I think it's August 1st or 2nd. It's the first Wednesday of August. We're also co-sponsoring a program on monarch butterflies, July 25th, again at the library. And we have a plant sale coming up September 22nd. And if you're interested in learning more about native plants, I encourage you to go to our website. That's laborvillegoeswild.weebly.com. You can get a lot of information there. Mm-hmm. I'd also encourage you to go to Bowman's Hill Wildflower Preserve and or their website, which is bhwp.org. I teach several classes there, so I'd love to see you there. Okay. You can also go to my blog, thenaturalweb.org. So.
Okay. Naturalweb.org. I got that right here.
Yeah.
That's your blog. Okay.
Yep.
How many classes do you teach a week?
I don't teach them weekly or every day of the week. You can go to the Bowman's Hill Wildflower Preserve's website to their calendar, and it'll show you what all the events are. There's lots of stuff going on. There are programs specifically for kids or kids and families, and there are programs for adults. And every day, Tuesday through Sunday, there's a guided walk at 2 o'clock. So it would be, you know, a naturalist leading a guided walk.
I see.
I can't wait. I have to attend this.
Brian Russo, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Vinny. A pleasure.
Mary Amborg, wonderful information.
Thank you.
It's great as always.
Thanks for inviting me.
Mr. Bell, great work on the engineering.
Working the board for Vinny today.
I'm telling you. And that's it. That's it for the show today, folks. This is In the Green Room, PANJ Radio, and we're going to be signing off right about now. So find that place of peace within yourself. Bye-bye.